Study number R2R number 23. The seventh message, titled Spiritual Tabernacle, was given Wednesday evening, February 15th, 1961.
We'll have to review just for a few moments here in the Spiritual Tabernacle. We've been studying here and we learned that this portion in the tabernacle was equal to that of the table of showbread on the commandments there in Moses' tabernacle. And as we learned before, that we saw two rolls of bread there on the table of showbread, which represented the bread of the crucified Christ and the bread of the resurrected Christ. And as we come to this portion of the spiritual tabernacle in Matthew that Jesus spoke forth from the mountain there, well, we find exactly two little statues of truth there. And we learned the bread of the crucified Christ, and that was wonderful. How that we want to learn of His humility and His purity. And the first thing we learned was eating of the bread of purity, being pure on the inside. How many of you have a real desire tonight, sincerely, not just saying it to me, but lifting your hand as a testimony to God? How many of you have a real desire to be pure on the inside, just where nobody sees but God? Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, it just seems like God is possessing me this day and time with such a desire and such a hunger and such a determination. Oh, to just be pure down in the inward parts of my thoughts and my motives and my desires. I want to be like Jesus. Oh my. And we learned about that bread of purity. How that Jesus said, if any man looked upon a woman to lust after, he had already committed adultery in his heart. Beloved, God wants us to go on and have our hearts and minds so sanctified and so crucified that we'll eat of the bread of purity until our hearts and our minds will be pure inwardly. And then we learned about the bread of humility, didn't we? About humbling ourselves and being reconciled to our adversary, and being humbling ourselves and being reconciled to our brother. Oh, no wonder there's so much strife among God's people, beloved, because they're not feeding upon the bread of the crucified Christ. And we were just speaking and making mention of what Isaiah said there. And he said, the whole head is sick, and the body is full of wounds and putrefying sores. And so we know that Jesus is the head in heaven, and we know He's not sick. What head is He talking about? The leaders of God's people, beloved, their heads are so thick tonight with covetousness and with strife and with enmity that no wonder the body of Christ is full of putrefying sores and wounds, because the head is not feeding the sheep and not feeding the bread of the crucified Christ. Oh my, we're not perfect here, you know, but I tell you, I've heard so much here lately, I'll have to be careful that I don't let my flesh come up and come down here and over pamper you and over love you. I just never was so glad for my people and all my life as I've been this week, because God just let me look over the fence just in every occasion, it seems like, to see what's going on. And I said, oh God, just let me run back to the little church with my people there. They're not perfect, but at least they're eating of the bread of humility, and they're learning to get along with one another, and they're learning to love and respect one another. And oh, how much more God wants us. We haven't got near enough. Don't get puffed up just because I'm over enthusiastic about you tonight and feeling real good and loving towards you. But let's keep on eating of the bread of the humility of Jesus Christ, beloved, that we might love one another, because the Bible said if we love one another, we'll show forth that we are His disciples. Jesus said so. Amen. And then we learned about the bread of self-control, didn't we? Learned that. And we had a little statue there about controlling yourself, your anger. The lake of fire is going to be right outside of the city. Did you know that? It says they're going to be tormented in the presence of the Lamb. And I explained to you about that. That it'll be a testimony to God. It'll add to their torment as they look over and see what they could have had if they'd have humbled themselves and obeyed God. And it'll also, beloved, cause praise to rise up in our heart. Every time we look over and see the smoke of their torment going forth, we'll look up and praise God and say, God, we could have been there except for your mercy. And so it'll just provoke praise in our hearts. But we read in there how that there's going to be murders outside of that city. And I was telling Brother David how we learned about heart murder and about tongue murder, how we can murder people just by being angry without a cause in our heart. The Bible says so. And how we can murder with our tongues, beloved. And so let's be pure. If you're going to go on with God, you're going to have to let God work you over on the inside, way down, where nobody sees but just God. Amen. And so then we learned about the bread of obedience. And that was wonderful. We had a wonderful message on that, the stature of the Pharisees there, didn't we? And so now, then we learn about the bread of the resurrection Christ. And that's where we are now. Love to His commandments. We're studying that. And we're going to study about the burning. My. And about the shine. And then on about the salt. My, as we go on with the resurrected Christ, beloved, these are things that He's going to work in us. But let's go on here. I'm going to take this off. I just put it on the board for our visitors and those that haven't been studying with us that they might know where we are. We've already studied the bread of the crucified Christ. Now we're studying the bread of the resurrected Christ. A matter of love. And we learned Sunday in Sunday school class that where could we go except to the 119th Psalm and find the kind of love toward His commandments that we are to have. David is our example. And oh, we had just such a wonderful study there in that little stature. We studied about David's will concerning the commandments, and there was a little stature of truth there about David's will. How his will was affected concerning the commandments. And then we studied about what the commandments are. We learned that, didn't we? And there was a little statue of truth. Was that where we finished here? That's where we finished it. And now I believe the next was the prayer. Is that right? Let's look at David's prayer about the commandments of God. Beloved, you're not going to get these commandments of God formed in your heart, these spiritual commandments, but just sitting around and playing tiddlywinks with your thumbs. Did you know that? And you're not going to just sit around hoping to get it and wishing to get it and hoping maybe you'll get in the groove and get started going on for God tomorrow. Today is the time to start. Now is the time. And like Brother David said, God will do anything for you if you'll just pray and ask God to do it. I know when we look at Jesus, He's so marvelous and He's so big and He's so wonderful. And when I look at myself, it looks like an utter impossibility for me to ever be like Him. But beloved, I know this one thing, that nothing is impossible with God. With me, it is impossible. But with my Jesus, He can do anything. And all I have to do is pray and ask in His name in faith, believing, and hunger and thirst for Him to form His commandments, the bread of His commandments. What am I talking about? Hungering and thirsting for the bread of purity. Hungering and thirsting for the bread of humility. Hungering and thirsting for the bread of self-control. Hungering and thirsting for the bread of obedience, beloved. And hungering and thirsting for a real love to where you do what you do because your heart's burning with love for Jesus. Now, careful, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you came up to the house of God tonight because your heart was burning with love for Jesus, or you just knew it was your duty to go to church and you ought to do it, and you just wasn't going to let the flesh overcome you? But how many of you came because you really felt the burning love to get His Word? Let's see your hands, huh? All right, that's a good test here. All right, just pray, but we need a little bit more. I don't believe we've got too much, do you? I believe we could get a little bit more of this thing and just be running over with it. Amen. All right, let's look at David's prayer concerning the commandments of God. In verse 10, we find the first one there. Praise God. Oh, this is a wonderful psalm. I wish I had time to study the 119th psalm with you. And so let's look at David's prayer there. He had a fourfold prayer there concerning the commandments of God. And I'll just list them over here, but you can put them around this little cross. There's a little cross of truth here. I don't see how anybody can read their Bible without seeing the cross of Jesus. How many of you have been able to see the cross of Jesus more in the Word since you've been studying down here, huh? Well, to me, I don't know how you feel about it, but I just get beside myself. Every time I see a new picture of the cross of my Jesus, I just get so thrilled about it. And in verse 10, we find the first thing, if you put them around your little cross there. In verse 10, we find David's first prayer concerning. He said, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." Oh, that's a wonderful testimony. Isn't that wonderful to seek God with your whole heart? He said, "Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." And so he said, "Let me not wander." That was his first prayer to God. You know, beloved, it's not just enough to come and get a taste of this thing, but it's possible for you to wander away from it. Did you know that? To go away from it. And that's the sad thing. It just breaks your heart about so many Christians. They'll say, "Well, I was so much closer to God 40 years ago, or 25 years ago, or 15 years ago." You know what's happened? They've wandered away. You know why people have gotten lukewarm? And we're in a lukewarm dispensation. We're in the Laodicean church age, the last age right before the coming of the Lord. And he said that age would be lukewarm. He said they'd be spiritually proud and self-righteous, because he'd say they were rich. They would say that they were rich and increased in goods and had need of nothing. But he would look upon them, oh my, as the high priest who knows all things, just like the high priest in the Old Testament, beloved. When an animal was brought to him, it was his responsibility to look that animal over and even cut it open and examine all the inward parts to see if that animal was pure and without spot and without blemish and without wrinkle, so that it could be a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the responsibility of the priest to look and see. We find Jesus Christ standing among the seven churches there. And we find Jesus ministering as prophet, priest, and king among the church. There's your sun, moon, and stars. You see what I mean? Ministry there. And beloved, when you find Jesus speaking out and saying, "I know your works. I know your works." How did he know? Because he's God, and he's gone right down in your heart. And he knows every time you've done something, because old Seth wanted to be exalted. And he knows all about you. He's taken you apart. And he's looked right down into your inwardmost being. And so he took the Laodicean church apart and looked right down into her innermost being. And she was saying, "I'm rich, I'm increased in goods, and I have need of nothing." But the Savior was saying, "I know you. You're blind, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you don't know how bad off you really are." He said, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold fried and far, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see." Oh my, no wonder people are wandering away, beloved, and getting lukewarm. We need to pray. Oh, instead of getting all boosted up and all proud and all heading high-minded because God's done a little something for you. No, that wasn't the way David prayed. Even after he got a hold of this thing, he was humble with it. And he said, "Oh God, keep me. Don't let me wander away from that which you've already given to me." Oh, to my Sunday. Oh, pray out of my Sunday. Jesus said, "Hold fast that you have, that no man take your crown." Don't get puffed up about it, beloved, just because you've got it. That doesn't mean you can't wander away from it. Amen. Blessed be God. Let's hurry up real quick. And this is, go down in verse 19, and we find the second thing here. Praise God. He wasn't only just a praying to hold on to that which he already had there, beloved, but he was praying that God would open up new things to him. Look at this. He said, "I am a stranger in the earth." Notice the basis on which that he pleads. First he said, "I've sought you with all of my heart, my whole heart. Don't let me wander." Praise God. And as long as you're seeking him with all of your heart, you'll not wander from his commandments. You start wandering when you fail to seek it with all of your heart. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to stop and just talk plain English to you now. if I can. When you come to the house of God, and you come and you get around the altar, and you got your hands like this, you pray for a little bit, and then you're looking to see, you know, what everybody else is doing. Or sometimes you can even cover your face completely, and while everybody else is under the burden, bearing the burden, you're out there mowing the lawn, or sweeping the floor, or washing the dishes, or planning tomorrow's meal, or taking care of somebody else's business in your heart and your mind. And you can be saying, hallelujah, praise God, and that old infernal, carnal mind of yours be over yonder doing something else. Why are you saying, praise God, hallelujah. Now come on, let's fess up. I'm talking about seeking God with all of your heart.
Yes, Lord.
David said, with my whole heart, I'm seeking you. Don't let me wander. Bless God, God will answer a prayer like that when you're seeking with your whole heart, beloved. We begin to wonder inside. You don't wonder outside before you start wondering on the inside first.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? You let your mind start wondering when you come to the house of God in prayer, when the Word is going forth. Well, your mind, you're sitting there. Sometimes I watch some of you. Well, that's my business to watch. I'm supposed to watch for your soul. And I don't get mad at you or beat you, but I preach to you kind of hard sometimes. And I pray awful hard for you sometimes. Praise God. But I can tell when your mind is on the Word of God. Sometimes you sit and you're here, your body's here, but I don't know where your spirit and your mind is. They're yonder somewhere. Praise God. Let's not wander inside, beloved, and seek God with our whole heart. And then notice what David said here. He said, I am a stranger in the earth. Praise God. He said, I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. Oh, I'm not married to this old earth, and I'm not settled down and married to people round about me, but I'm a stranger. What is a stranger? He don't have no close ties. You ever go? How many of you have ever been in a strange city? Let's see your hands, huh? In a strange city. You know how it feels, don't you? You don't feel close to nobody. It just feels like you're all alone, don't you, huh? And that's the way God wants us to get in our heart. Beloved, so that we'll feel all alone. So that we'll be willing to walk alone with Jesus. Amen. Because I tell you, we may have to actually do it before this thing is over. Abraham said he was a stranger and a pilgrim. He left his home country and he went out into a strange land, not knowing whether he went to, but he went on walking alone with God by faith. And David said, I'm a stranger. Praise God. And beloved, when you go on with Jesus, you get to that place. Oh yes, I know we have our brothers and our sisters, and we appreciate them and we love them with the love of Jesus. But I'm talking about that lonely walk inside where you feel alone with just you and Jesus there. And that's the way you feel as you go on with Him. And so don't feel strange about it. That's just the way you're supposed to feel. Amen. And so David said, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Hide not them. Oh, he says, I want to know more about them. Let them be revealed. We've been having some wonderful studies here on Tuesday about the life of Abraham. And this past week we were studying about the everlasting God, which means a God over secret things, a God over hidden things, a God over mysteries. And so here it is right here. Beloved, everything about God is a mystery until it's revealed to you. Did you know that? It's hidden and it's secret until it's revealed. Oh, there's so much more about His commandments that we need to pray like David prayed. Hide not thy commandments from Him. Oh, Lord, don't hide the commandments of the bread of humility. And yet, how many times do we pray like that? Do we really pray like that? Or when we get in a spot where the Lord is humbling us and testing us, while we're praying just as hard as we can, Lord, get me out of this spot just as fast as you can. Lord, exalt me just as fast as you can. Instead of saying, Lord, let me find all the bread of the humility of the Christ that you've got for me while I'm in this situation. Oh, hide not thy commandments, Lord. Let them be revealed. Hide not the love of your commandments. Hide not the purity of them. Hide not the humility of them. Praise God. Let's hurry on real quick here tonight. Now then, in verse 35, This is a good thing to pray. If you don't have the strength to go, sometimes God shows us ways and places that just don't seem like we can walk. I know I told you about that time, one time when I was in a revival down in Livermore, Kentucky, and I was out to my niece there, Ruby's house, and the Spirit of God come on me. I told you that. I come out of the meeting, and I was so under the power of God that I couldn't even calm down. God really turns me loose when He sends me forth. I couldn't preach to you people like that all the time. I don't have the physical strength. I can teach you the word, but I don't have the strength to preach like that. But it was long about that time when I was in revival down there, and I came out and was under the power of God, and I went out to the house there with Ruby, and I was making so much noise, and I knew those folk had to sleep. They got me out there and walked me up and down that lane down there, and they sung to me, and they prayed with me, and they did everything. And they, after about an hour or two, they thought they had me calmed down. And I thought they did too. And so I come back in the room, and no more got in the room, and there it just rolled out again, just like Niagara Falls. And I saw it wasn't going to go away without me doing some praying. And I got up under the bed. How many of you ever prayed under a bed? Huh? Did you ever pray under a bed? Well, I've got one companion in tribulation. And so I crawled back under the bed, and the devil said, the bed will fall down on you. He said, look up there. See them slats? They're going to fall down on you. And I said, I can't help it. I got to pray. This thing was just a boiling out of me. Never forget, you've heard me testify. And God lifted me in the spirit, and I saw the little white path that I was on. But God showed me a mountain yonder, and the path was more narrow and was more straight up and down than the path that I was on. And God said, see there, there's where I want you to walk. That's the path of the bride. Praise God. I've seen Mount Zion with the path going up and down it. Bless God. Oh, don't tell me there's not going to be a difference in believers, beloved, because I've seen it in the Spirit. I was on this. It was white and it was narrow, but it was not nearly as narrow as that path, and it was not nearly as straight up and down. And I wept and cried in the Spirit, and I said, Jesus, I can't walk there. It's too straight. And I said, no mortal man could walk there. And He said, yes, I know that's a supernatural walk, but He said, you follow me and I'll teach you how to walk there. And I said, Lord, make me to walk there under my Sandaya. But I did not see the great valley of humiliation that God was going to take me through. I didn't see that. God hid from my eyes, but I cried out like David said, and God will take you at your word, beloved. Even though you don't understand what you're asking for, I said, Lord, I want to walk there. I want to walk there. Amen. Bless your heart. He let me walk there too. And that's why that I'm sold out for Jesus tonight. There's nothing for me to go back to. There's nothing for me to turn to, because all that I've found is yonder on Mount Zion. Oh, and I've seen Him on the Sunday. Oh, blessed be His name. The next time I got close to that mountain, oh, I saw that there were a hidden stairway carved like in rock, praise God, back in there that I hadn't seen at that other time. And I said, and the steps were far apart, very far apart. And I looked again and I said, Jesus, even though I'm closer and I can see and I can behold it, I said, my legs are not long enough. No man's legs are long enough to walk in that stairway up that mountain. And again, Jesus said, you follow me and I will do it for you. I will lengthen your legs and cause you to walk on that pathway. After God took me down through that valley of humiliation, beloved, He took me up on Mount Zion. I'll never forget it all the days of my life, because I saw Jesus when I got to the top, and I saw the marriage covenants of the bride, and He read them off to me. And when I come back to myself down in my body, I was a dancing and a singing and a clapping my hands, and the tears was rolling down my face. Amen. Don't tell me it's not real going on with God. Beloved, there's a long journey ahead of you. Oh, to that mountain over yonder of Mount Zion, and in the Bashandaya, and there's a valley of humiliation to go through. Oh, don't let the Bakanasa, don't draw back from God, but tell Him that you want to go on. And if you say it and you mean it, He will take you through.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be God.
Blessed be
the truth. As I look back in my life, and I see how many times that I could have missed the will of God. How many times I could have lost out, but I didn't know it then. It was like a little child walking alone. But as I look back, I see how He's brought me through. Not that I'm everything that I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. And so I'm pressing on to be more like Him. I love Him tonight, beloved. And He's so wonderful. And I wanted to fill my heart with that kind of prayer. Look at what David said here. Where are we? The third one. Did I give it to you? I don't even know where I'm at. Yes, verse 35. Notice this. He prayed and he said, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." Make me go, Jesus. I can't go myself. And sometimes, many times, I've come to the place that the spiritual man wanted to go, but it seemed like there was no will or no do in me concerning some particular thing of obedience that God would have before me. And I'd say, "Lord, make me. I'm willing for you to make me willing." Oh, if you don't know how to pray any other way, you can start there. "Lord, I'm willing for you to work the will in me. Lord, I'm willing for you to make me go." And how many times I've prayed like that, and I could find His big hand in the back of my neck, and I went whether I wanted to or not, so to speak. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, but I want you to live something down underneath of your soul. Once you make up your will, Lord, I'm deep. It doesn't matter what comes along in between time. You can pray, "Lord, make me go." And you'll find God's big hand in the back of your neck, making you go whether you want to or not. Blessed be God. Oh, I love Him tonight. He's so wonderful. He said, "Hide not your commandments from me. They're my delight." You know, listen, I wish I could make you understand everything I know, but that's impossible. You've got to grow, and you've got to be crucified, and you've got to go the same way before you'll understand fully. I know you understand a lot where you are, and I'm not trying to make myself something or to be in a place where God hasn't taken me. But if I hadn't been ahead, I wouldn't be able to lead you now, would I, huh? But beloved, this bread is in the secret place up here. He said, in thy commandments I delight. Make me to go. Once you get a taste of this thing, there's no turning back on you. Oh, I tell you, it's so wonderful. You just want to go with everything that you've got after you begin to get a taste. Now then, let's look in verse 73, and you'll find the fourth thing that David prayed for concerning the commandments of God. Praise the name of the Lord. I wish I had time to really preach this deep to you. Well, one day I will, maybe. But you know, in the 119th Psalm, you find all of the Hebrew letters of the Hebrew alphabet. I've given most of you here the meaning of those letters, and they have meanings, and they represent different phases of your spiritual experience. If I had time to go connect these prayers with all of those different degrees of spiritual experience, some of you would really have a time. I know. But let's look down in verse 73. And he said, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." Oh, give me understanding for what purpose he wanted to learn of his commandments. Now, he already had a taste of some of them. He said, "Don't let me wander from that which I've already got, and keep on opening up to me." Beloved, he already had some experience in the commandments. And then he said, "Hide not thy commandments. Keep on revealing them to me. And as you reveal them, make me to go in them. Make me to keep on walking." Listen, beloved, let me tell you something. There's a lot of people, or there are a lot of people that will go just so far with God. Did you know that? Amen. And then as you keep on walking, well, you'll find them balking. Jesus had the same experience. In the beginning, there was a lot of people that went along with him. But as the way began to be known, that it was a way of persecution and a way of unpopularity and all of that, many of them began to go back. And Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, "Will ye go away also?" And I believe it was Peter that looked at him and said, "Lord, to whom can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life." Where are you going to go back to, beloved? It's nothing worth going back to. Jesus alone has the words of eternal life. And sometimes, And you know, you have to keep on making this surrender. You know, as you walk this way and you put your love and your prayers and your energies and your hours into helping souls go on for God, and then sometimes you see the devil come at them and start battling them, and you don't know whether they're going to continue on with you or whether they're going to go back. You don't know. And many times in my life as a minister of God, I have to get out on my knees and say, Lord, I'll walk on alone. I've worked so hard. I've prayed so hard. I've given all that you've given me to give them. I've done my best. And it just, I don't know, some of you ministers will know what I'm talking about when you've labored with people and then you see them turn back. It crushes you. It breaks you in your heart like nothing else in this world can make you suffer. Because when you put your blood and your sweat and your tears in the spiritual into a soul, beloved, there's nothing in this world that can weigh the value and the price of that blood and that sweat and that tears. But you've always got to be willing to walk on alone. Many times over and over I have to come and kneel down and say, Lord, I'll be willing to be forsaken. I'll be willing to walk on alone. If nobody wants to go this way, I'll still go on. If all of our people turn back, if they all decide that they want to go back and the way is too hard, listen, I know what I'm talking about, beloved. Sometimes you, some of you sitting here tonight, you think you're going to go all the way. I know you do. But beloved, listen, you have to keep on making surrenders. And sometimes when God begins to cut so deep in your soul, and the separation gets so severe, and the separation gets so great, oh my, there's many people that will turn back then. You better start praying, listen to me, against that day. Say, Lord, I want to make up my mind. I want to make up my will right now that I want to go all the way. And I don't know what will be in store for me, but I'm going to trust you to take care of me and to work your will in me. Way out yonder. I made up my mind years ago. I don't know. I guess it's because people don't make up their minds. They think they do, but they don't. When you really make up your mind to go all the way, nothing out of hell can stop you. Did you know that? All the devils, all the persecution, all the humiliation, nothing can stop you because you're just going to go on for God. Amen. And so he said, give me understanding that I might learn of thy commandments. And to learn of his commandments means you're going to have to be a disciple. I preached to you here on the stature of being a disciple. Remember that? We had a wonderful outpouring of the Holy Ghost that Sunday morning when the Lord brought that message through us of being a disciple. And we learned that a disciple was a learner, a student, one who lays at the feet of the Master. And so mine, we're going to have to take time to learn this thing, beloved. You're not going to learn it overnight. So don't be feeling bad about it. Now let's hurry on real quick. And there's another little stature. We talked about David's will concerning his commandments, his revelation of what they were, his prayer. Can't you see the love of David that he had toward the commandments of God? When you love something, it's going to touch your will. Did you know that? And when you love something, it's going to be revealed to you because you're going to live close enough with it to get acquainted with it. And when you love something, you're going to pray for more of it because it's going to be so wonderful to you. And then here, as we said Sunday, is the effects of the commandments. David gives us a little stature of truth again about the effects of the commandments. Now, I didn't write this Bible, and I'd sure have to be some kind of magician or mastermind to twist all these little crosses out of the Word of God. Wouldn't I, huh? All right, let's learn the effect here. Now, first of all, in verse 98, we find the effect of the commandments is wisdom, beloved. Do you want wisdom of God? The Bible said, let us pray for wisdom, and that God will give to all men liberally, and He won't upbraid them. And so let's look at it here in verse 98. Praise God. He said, Thou through Thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Isn't that wonderful? to have wisdom over the devil and wisdom over the flesh, one of your biggest enemies is yourself. Our biggest enemy, and you're going to carry him with you all the time. And listen, he can sneak in on you in a dozen different ways when you don't even realize it. In your attitude, in your disposition, and he's even smart enough to justify you in the thing and make you think the trouble is with somebody else. Amen. Instead of you. You ever notice it? When it's a question of a congestion between a husband and wife, or brother and sister, while they always blame the other fellow? We inherited that thing from Adam and Eve. And so he says here, thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Now then, let's look on down in 127 and let's see the effect of the commandments being worked in his heart. And he said, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. And so the commandments will work love in you. They'll work wisdom in you if you just let the Lord feed you of the bread of the resurrected Christ. And then on down in 131, it'll work along in soul, along in heart in you. Notice this. He said, I opened my mouth and painted, for I long for thy commandments. Praise God. How many of you are thirsty? Are you really thirsty? Do you ever get out and just cry in your prayer closet because you're so thirsty for God and you feel like you're going to perish if he doesn't reveal something new to you of himself in the Word of God? How many of you ever feel like that? Do you really cry up to God? Oh, ask God to work his commandments in you, because, beloved, this thing gets in you and it just put such a longing in your heart that you just have to get there and pour out your heart to God. Oh my. I just had to get there this morning and cry out to God. And the devil says, well, the boys might come into work while you're in there praying. And I said, I'm just sorry, because I'm just so hungry for God. I've got to pray and cry. Just thought I was going to die if I couldn't get in there and pour out my soul unto the Lord. Beloved, it'll work thirst in your soul for God. We're in a day, listen to me, where it's a dry, barren land. Did you know that? And not many people. Oh, yes, I know there are people, nucleuses here and there, but the church world as a whole is not thirsty for God. Did you know that? Oh my, let's pray for God's commandments to be worked in us. Pray that God will reveal the bread of not only the crucified Christ, but the resurrected Christ. Praise God. What is the painted heart there after God? Did you ever see an old dog that had been out running and he was just painting for a drink of water and his tongue was hanging out and he'd act like he's going to smother? Well, I remember when we brought our kitty baby from California. Remember how hot she used to get, Barbara, and how thirsty? And she just drank anything that got in her way, even malted milks or just anything that was cold and wet. She was just painting. Her tongue was just hanging out. Oh, my. I tell you, I think my people around here are almost too well fed to get very much pain and spirit in them. Did you know that? Because about the first time you give a grass, somebody's there to toss a piece of bread into your mouth and feed you. But you go out in other places where people don't get the Word of God, and I tell you, they just sit with their mouth open like little birds. You ever see a little bird in a nest? And when mother a bird comes along with a worm, they just sit with their mouth gaping all the time. Even when mother bird's not there, I've looked over into their nest as a child, and they just have their mouth open. They just be painting there and longing for something to fall into their mouth. And that's the way I find people when I get away from this little church. Not great numbers of them, but nucleuses of them here and there. But beloved, listen, we can pray that God will enlarge our capacity so that we can have a painting heart for God. And in a longing heart, is that the painting is the outward demonstration. The longing is the secret movement of desire inside of your heart. Do you ever sometime be riding on a bus, or sometimes be walking downtown, or be walking in your shopping, or be in the presence of others, and the power of God come upon you, and that longing come into your heart that you didn't describe it, nobody saw it, you went on, and outwardly you looked just like they looked, and you was acting just like they looked, but down inside, the pangs was taking hold of your soul, and you just felt like you'd give all you owned if you just had a secret place to crawl into right then and pour out your heart unto God. Oh, beloved, listen, the commandments of God will work this in your soul if you'll just let Him have His way with you. Let's go back now. We were looking about love to the commandments. Let's go back to the 5th chapter of Matthew and read our commandment again and just meditate on for just a second. And then we'll see what else God has for us in the service here. Praise God. In the 5th chapter of Matthew, beginning in verse 17 through 19, he said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." He said, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Did you hear what we read, huh? My, how different it is with men. You start doing and you start teaching the commandments of the Lord, which leads in the crucified way, because look where it is up in the stature. You start doing this, you start teaching it, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to be the most unpopular person in all the world with the religious crowd.
Amen.
You know something? You won't be unpopular with the sinner. Did you know that? The sinner is not the one that gives you trouble. It's the religious crowd that gives you trouble. Can you tell me why? I wonder if you know why. It shows them up, Brother Leroy. When you let your hair grow, you can go around people's got short hair and you won't even have to be saying a word. And they'll get so mad at you, they'll be ready to crucify you. You take off your makeup and you go around, you don't have to be saying a thing. And I'm not talking about everybody. I'm talking about generally speaking. I'm talking about going around. Beloved, they get ready to crucify you. Why? Because you show them up. And you don't mean to be. You're not trying to be smart. You're not trying to show anybody. You're just trying to mind God. And so, it's not the sinner that persecutes us. It's the religious crowd. And so he said here, anybody that would do these and teach men to do them would be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And he said, whoever would break one of these least ones and teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. I'll tell you, it's going to be a different story. Beloved, when the kingdom of heaven rolls around, and ministers that have been all uppity and high and mighty and had prestige, and yet they've taught the people to break the commandments of God, beloved. Beloved, I don't know what's come over God's people. It just nearly knocks me down. I don't know what to think about this thing. When God convicted me of those things before I ever had the Holy Ghost, just as soon as I repented and got a portion of Jesus in my heart, I knew better than that.
All right.
And just because that you tell people and you teach people and you're trying to do the best you can to set the example before them, well, then they're ready to just crucify you on every turn.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so I'm going to just go right on doing and teaching just the best way that I know how. How many of you people have found this way has brought you closer to God? Amen. Lift up your hand. Say amen out there. Say praise the Lord. Say thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. That's a testimony. That's why the devil's mad. Bless God. Hallelujah.
God didn't want me to interpret that message, but I heard what the Spirit was saying, and I saw the great breath of God, like the blast of His nostrils, like when He split the Red Sea
and caused the children of Israel to go through. He told us not to be downhearted or discouraged, that the blast of His nostrils was going to make a way for us. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
This is the end of sermon study number R2R23.